Hello, welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are just in time for a great conversation. It has to do with life. It has to do with relationship. It has to do with when relationship takes a significant change. And I tell you what, we are being joined by two lovely ladies who are going to be helping us. In fact, they're going to be guiding us through this thought process as well as the discussion. They are none other than Susie Hopkins and Hallie Bateman. How are you both doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
I tell you what, you two have really taken on a project that I think is just fascinating because it covers so much ground. Of course, it's coming from your book, What to Do When I'm Gone. And so I think that that kind of gives everybody a good idea of what the discussion is about. But I've got to let you tell the story because it is your story. Let me start here, though. Let me start with Mom, and if you would, give us a better introduction, a more in-depth introduction than I've given.
Okay, this book, What to Do When I'm
Yourself
Gone.
Yourself first. Your name, what you do professionally, you know, how many children, all that kind of thing.
Oh, okay, all right. My name is Susie Hopkins. I live in Northern California. I'm 58 years old, and I've been a lifetime journalist. I was formerly a newspaper reporter and editor for years, and then I went into writing senior memoirs for people, writing books of their life story, and then I started a magazine, which I ran for 10 years in our rural community, and did a lot of issues related to people 50 and older, caregiving, health, fitness, and then ran that until last fall, and then Hallie and I worked on this book, which was really her idea, and probably I'd like to, I have three children. Hallie has an older brother and a younger brother, and they're all pretty close together and very close, but this, I'd like Hallie to talk about the genesis of the project, because she insisted on that I leave my advice to her in case I got suddenly died unexpectedly, and she would be and she would therefore be without my motherly advice for the rest of her life. Hallie is 28 now, and had this idea in her early 20s. And Hallie, would you want to talk about it? Because it's really, it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you. So why don't you tell how you thought of this?
So a little background on me. As my mom mentioned, I'm 28. I'm a writer and illustrator, and I've done lots of work for The New Yorker or lots of comics and writing and things like that. So that's kind of my medium. One period in my early 20s, I was visiting my parents and couldn't fall asleep one night and was kind of imagining my mom dying and just kind of trying to let myself feel what that would feel like. And then I actually kind of imagined further than that into the days and weeks afterwards. And I, for the first time, really like went there and felt like, oh, I feel like I would be really lost and really paralyzed without, you know, without this person, like this person being suddenly gone. And so the next morning I brought it up to my mom and I was like, hey, can you just write me a book of instructions that starts the day that you die so that I can just keep going, so that I don't have to go without it. And this was just like over breakfast, and she thought it was a good idea and was laughing, and because we're very like kind of dark sense of humor and comfortable talking about death and things like that. So it wasn't like a rude thing for me to say. So after that initial conversation, we would talk about it whenever I would visit home, and I would say like, hey, how's that book coming? And she would be like, oh, I've got it all in my head. Don't worry about it. And that was really kind of frustrating to me, because I felt like I really wanted like a guide, like a booklet, that would be just practical, and so I would be like, Mom, you're going to get hit by a bus and I'm not going to have it. Like, you have to write it. And she was busy publishing a magazine, and I lived across the country at the time. I lived in New York. And so nothing exactly happened with it until one summer she visited me, and we went up to Maine to kind of take a week together to just hang out. And I ended up bringing my laptop, and when we got there, I was like, hey, Mom, guess what? We're going to work on the book now. And so it was a very long process of starting it, but eventually, yeah, we sat down together, and it began with me just asking my mom questions that I would type down what she said, and my questions were just like trying to, okay, think about, she just died, what do I need to know? Like, okay, what would you tell me to do with that grief or with all the practical things that I would have to deal with? And then we had the questions kind of continue onward from the exact like grief of this occurrence to really addressing what my fear was, which was just living my normal life, but with the absence of my mom. And so the book kind of grew, and we kind of realized that it could be something for more than just our family, that maybe it would be something a lot of people would appreciate. And I'm an illustrator, so of course I was immediately like, oh, I could illustrate this. So yeah, we ended up writing it over the next year or so with a few different kind of writing retreats since we did live on the opposite coast. And so, yeah, it's been a long time coming, but that's kind of the background of the book.
And you mentioned that your family, even from the beginning, and when I say from the beginning, even before you began to bring up this book, was comfortable mm-hmm. talking about death, and apparently not death in general, but even talking about death as it might pertain to your own family?
Yeah.
So how did you all get to the point where that was a topic that was comfortable, that you were comfortable discussing?
Well, I had gone through the death of my mom. I was with her when she passed at the age of 85 in 2003. And so that was a profound passage for me. Because, you know, I've got all this, I've interviewed many elderly people, and grief is just a constant topic that I was very stunned by in my reporting process, because a lot of people are grieving really without a lot of support. They may not be affiliated with a church or have a solid community, and sometimes their children are far away, and there's just a lot of people that are dealing with grief and no map for it. It's a difficult, it's just a passage we have to take, but it's very emotional and can be very difficult and feel very lonely. And with my mom's passing, I had my sister's support, but I was really struck by the fact that our family never talked about death, and it just drove me crazy, because I'm much more of a, I want to talk about everything. And my family didn't. My mom didn't acknowledge that she was dying. That was the case. I had a brother that committed suicide at a young age. That wasn't discussed. It was just the lack of discussion and help for people within a family by being open and able to communicate was something I was really carrying within me. So I, once I began exploring based on Hallie's questions, a lot of my thoughts were that we need to be open in order to help ourselves and the younger generation face the reality of, you know, our time is finite, and that grief is something you can get through, and it's part of life. So that's the long answer to, we're open to talking about death, because actually my family was so close in talking about it.
You know, I think that discovery, though, and I consider it a discovery for a lot of people who are going to be listening, because sometimes, you know how it works. Very often, we'll repeat the same mistake generation after generation after generation. And so
if there was
breast cancer or prostate cancer, and there's a history of it in the family, very often nothing will be said about it until someone finally says, hey, look, we got to break this chain of silence because this is something that needs to be discussed in our family. And you could easily have said, well, you know, I'm just going to continue on the track that my parents were on and just not talk about death. And you could have clammed up. And when Hallie said, well, you know, Mom, we need to talk about it, you could have said, no, that's not what our family does. That's not what we do.
Well, I think that I've seen there's a lot of sadness and depression centered around holding, you know, not being open and not expressing your sense of loss and sense of sadness. That's not a good thing. And I've interviewed a lot of World War II veterans, for example, who've had grief from the what they witnessed in combat. And that interviewing them in their late 80s and early 90s, and in many cases, you would think that would be horrible to revisit that. In many cases, it was cathartic mm-hmm. for them because they felt that they came home from the war and bottled it up, and that didn't work. They had a lot of family domestic abuse. They had a lot of depression, and I think we know that it doesn't work. Bottling up doesn't work. And I think that how we educate the next generation to be more connected. I mean, that's part of what I think Hallie and I saw the book might do, because the topics we hit kind of accidentally by her questions were so big in terms of showing compassion and getting through very specifically these early days of grief and the later days of grief. So I just feel like we started as a family project, but it turned into something much bigger, which I didn't anticipate until we were partway through with her questions in the writing process. And then I just thought this is much more universal than just our family.
Yeah. And you know what? I definitely want us later on to delve into some of the specific questions that you asked. I know you mentioned, Hallie, that some of this had to do with, and this, of course, Susie, you've mentioned too, a lot of it centered around grief. But I know that there are some more specific questions that were addressed that will help us get an even better idea of what this type of project is really about. But before we get there, I want to get back to something else that you mentioned too, Susie. And I want to ask this of each of you, because this is something that I was really curious about. Did both of you find the discussion of this topic, in addition to the actual writing it down, to be in any way therapeutic for you? And let me start with Hallie, and then we'll get that same response from Susie.
Yeah, I think the process of talking about it and all those hours of conversations that kind of were whittled down to make this book are something that really, really was what I wanted, was that now I do have this guidebook, but a lot of it is stuff that I think just by virtue of speaking with my mom for so long and pushing her and asking all these questions, I really have such a more like detailed and innate sense of like what she would say in any given situation, to where something that I might ask, like that didn't make it in the book, that I might think of now and say like, oh, we forgot to talk about this. I think a lot of times I can kind of guess or have a good idea of what she would say, which is something that I'm really, really grateful for, to just have kind of her voice. We've been on the road on book tour and talking with a lot of people about the book, and something that I found interesting is like people totally understandably are a little bit scared to read it, and it's something where they're like, oh, I don't even want to think about that, and I really relate to that. I think that the experience of pushing through that discomfort was extremely worthwhile for me.
Well, you know, when we come back, I definitely want to hear your response to that question as well, Susie. And I'll tell you where I'd like for us to move from there, if we could, for just a few minutes when we come back. After you will have shared with us, Susie, your response, you know, how this impacted you, whether it was therapeutic for you or not, et cetera, I would like for us to look into something that Hallie just mentioned other people saying, hey, this is a scary situation. I really wanted to address that topic of whether or not there were any scary moments in this discussion for either or both of the two of you. So could we talk about potential therapeutic benefits for you, Susie, when we come back, and then move on to, you know, the various ways that you all may have been impacted by this?
Yeah, that okay. sounds great.
Great. Our guests, ladies and gentlemen, yours and mine, Ms. Susie Hopkins and Ms. Hallie Bateman. Mother and daughter following up on a project of the daughters. The discussion of what to do when I'm gone. It comes from their book, and we're going to tell you more about the book and how you can get it. I think this is a worthwhile discussion. In fact, I know it is. So don't let fear shut you down. Keep listening. We'll be right back.